On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
It seems really appropriate at a time like this, where Israel is under attack by Hamas, to get a chance to talk about a book that will address the very serious issue of anti-Semitism, and in particular genocide, as propagated by the Nazis during World War II, and in particular against the Jews in Poland. Here to talk about her new novel, The Warsaw Sisters, is from Revel, which is a division of Baker Publishing Group, is Amanda Barrett. Amanda is the best-selling author of more than a dozen historical novels and novellas, including My Dearest Dietrich and The White Rose Resist, which was a 2021 Christie Award winner. She has done a marvelous job in doing the research for this. I've been privileged to be in Poland on a musical mission trip, and we visited Auschwitz and did a lot of reading in preparation for that trip. So when I started reading your book, I thought, this is wonderful, because I've been in these places. I've been to the places you're discussing and seen these things, and you were right on the mark. And so I just want to say, Amanda, first of all, thanks for a really marvelous, marvelous novel. Second of all, thanks for being with us today on the Bookshelf.
Thank you so much for your kind words, and yes, it is such an honor to be here with you today.
How much research did you have to do to be able to recreate the world as it was for these two sisters during the very dark days of the occupation of Poland during World War II?
So research for me always begins far before I sit down to write chapter one and continues all throughout the editing process when I'm triple-checking the details to make sure that I got every last thing as close to accurate as I possibly can. While researching my Poland during the Second World War for my novel Within These Walls of Sorrow, I discovered many of the historical events that inspired this novel, The Warsaw Sisters. So my research process really flowed very seamlessly from one book to the next as I just kind of continued to build on that foundation that I had set. Within These Walls of Sorrow is set in Krakow, Poland, and The Warsaw Sisters takes place in Warsaw. So I read around 100 books to research this. Many were first-hand accounts, because I always seek out those first-hand accounts, because I love getting not only the broad historic panorama, but zeroing into the deeply personal experiences of individuals. And many of the scenes in the novel are inspired by events that I read about in those first-hand accounts. I was also very privileged to visit a museum that houses a collection of artifacts and documents related to the Polish resistance and the Warsaw Uprising, which is explored in my novel. And that was such amazing. It was a very tangible experience where history became real as I held a helmet that was worn by a young soldier who fought in the Warsaw Uprising, as I saw the newspaper that was published by the Polish resistance that the teenage courier girls would carry in their satchels throughout the city to distribute these words of truth. And so, yeah, the research is my favorite part of the whole entire process. I love just exploring history and then being able to breathe that life into it to create a fictional narrative.
The characters are very, very believable. We have two sisters. When the war starts, they get the feeling that there's been sort of a sense that Germany was going to invade Poland. Certainly, the Nazis have been taking bits of territory, subdividing Czechoslovakia, taking Danzig and other places, and they've been getting away with it for over a year now. Austria has already voluntarily joined the Reich and during the Anschluss, and so Poland is not completely shocked that they're going to be attacked by Germany. They are surprised at the ferocity of the attack, and then the Soviets jump in 2 weeks later. So basically Poland is going to be subdivided for the balance of the war, and then of course we know after the war is over, it'll be subjugated by the Soviet Union for over 40 years. So these folks are in for a really, really terrible time. And at the beginning of the novel, the sister's dad is called into service, and they don't know exactly what's going to happen. And this begins the whole feeling that nobody really has an idea of how long things are going to last or what it's going to take. Are the British and the French, who are their allies, going to jump in? Are the Americans going to get involved? What's going to happen? And we get a real sense of their unease and their growing terror as September 1st draws nearer.
We very much do. And I think what a lot of people don't know about Poland is, I mean, Poland's losses, the whole of Europe suffered devastating losses due to the war, but Poland, I mean, of the 6 million Jewish men, women, children that were killed in the Holocaust, 3 million of them were also Polish citizens. So you have that. And you also have that Poland suffered under occupation. The German policy in Poland was far more severe than in countries like France and the Netherlands, where they sought more to mostly live peaceably with the people and crack down on resistance. But, I mean, it was... There were, they said, one historian that I read said that nowhere in all of occupied Europe was the Nazi machinery of repression as great as it was in Poland. Street raids became a fact of daily life for the citizens of Warsaw. You could go out to buy a loaf of bread or go to work, and you could go walk down on one street. The Nazi police could come and cordon the street, and they would check everyone's papers. They would select people to work in Germany, in factories, for the war effort. And there were very severe rationing. There was a black market, which the Poles participated in. There were severe consequences for that. So it really was this intense atmosphere of daily terror that the Polish people, particularly the people of Warsaw, lived in for so many years of occupation. And what's so extraordinary is in the midst of that, there were these stories of resistance that emerged.
As a matter of fact, one of the things that I had read about before, so I was really thrilled that you went into that in pretty really good detail, and that is that the resistance movement in Poland was actually more organized and more efficient and usually had younger participants than the French resistance, which gets a lot more press. The Poles, they had resistance workers practically from the end of September up until the time that the war was over.
Yes, they did. The Polish resistance, and they staged the Warsaw Uprising in August 1944, which was this massive citywide battle, in part with the entire Polish underground, an attempt to take back the city. But it really began in those early days of occupation, and by 1940, in Warsaw alone, there were 140 separate underground groups. And the resistance was unified eventually under, became known as the Home Army. And by 1944, they had an estimated 350,000 soldiers throughout Poland. So in a country where resistance could be punished with death, you know, to think of 350,000, if not more, people undertaking these resistance is just incredible.
There were a couple of pretty significant military reprisals against the Poles because of this ongoing resistance. But there were two things, and you gave us a lot of details about them. The first, the gradual movement of all the Jews in the capital city into what became known as the Warsaw Ghetto, with the idea that they would either starve to death or they would be shipped off to the death camps or to the slave labor camps. If they were well enough to work in a factory for a while, they would be used in such a way. That was something that was very prominent in the book because of one of the sisters, Antonina. She's a musician, and she's in love with a Jewish musician named Marek. Tries to help out, and she's surprised that Marek and his mother discourage her heavily from some of the things that she's doing that are pretty dangerous, about smuggling food in and so forth, right?
Yes, Antonina's character and her actions to help the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto was definitely inspired by many accounts that I read of non-Jews who sought to enter the ghetto. In the very earliest days of the ghetto, like the first couple weeks of its existence, non-Jews were still permitted to pass through, and they could visit their friends in there, and they could bring them things. But very soon, the ghetto became sealed, and only with a very special pass, which was issued to a very few people, did that become possible. And from then on, anyone who wanted to access friends in the ghetto, family in the ghetto, even sometimes, they had to take incredible risks to access them. And Antonina becomes involved in a network of women, and primarily women, and the most famous of whom is Irina Semler, who smuggled food, and they smuggled typhus vaccinations, and they smuggled these things into the ghetto. And then they eventually began to undertake something even more dangerous, which was to smuggle children out. And together, this network of women rescued hundreds of children that they smuggled from out of the ghetto, and then they placed in homes, in Polish homes outside the city, and in convents and orphanages. So this is an incredible story of clandestine resistance.
The information about smuggling the children out, this Underground Railroad, particularly interesting because I'd never read about that anywhere else. What a courageous thing to do and death-defying thing for them to do. The other sister, We'll get back to Merrick in just, I mean, to Antonina in just a minute. But the other sister, Helena, that she gets involved in the Home Army.
She does, and she is very much representative of the, you know, the many, the hundreds and thousands of young people in Warsaw who became members of the Home Army. And what I found so fascinating is that there were so many women. Of the soldiers who fought in the eventual Warsaw Uprising, there were 40 to 50,000, and there were nearly 12,000 women, and most were in their late teens and their early 20s, and they served as couriers and nurses, and some of them were even combatants. So they were fighting in this urban combat, fighting against the Germans. Many of them perished. Many of them were decorated with Polish military honors. So I think that's just this really incredible story of women, you know, doing things that we don't often see, you know, in America. You know, I mean, women were never in a combat role, and so I found that really fascinating to explore.
We're talking, in case you're just joining us, to Amanda Barrett, whose new book, The Warsaw Sisters from Revel, is available online and in bookstores everywhere. An extraordinary novel about two very real type of women in Warsaw, Poland, during the Nazi occupation that lasted from the end of September of 1939 to May, and actually, for all intents and purposes, until June, when the Soviets kind of moved the Nazis out in June of 45. This was a very long time, and one of the things that I got from this novel is a real sense of how, as the occupation continues, there is more and more deprivation. There is never the feeling that the Nazis are pleased that they have added Poland to their circle, if you will, and therefore they're going to feed the residents or anything like that. There is very much the feeling that they have captured them to kill them all, and if not to kill them, then to practice killing on them. There is never a sense that they regard the Poles with any sort of decent behavior. There is one German that is not as crappy to the sisters as most of the others are, but that's sort of an anomaly, isn't it?
Yes, there were certainly instances of Germans who were, you know, deeply disturbed by what was going on and what they saw perpetrated toward the Polish people. One of the most famous instances is the officer who ended up helping Władysław Spielman, who is most known for his memoir and then the eventual film The Pianist. And there was a German officer who risked his life to provide food and aid to Spielman in the final days of the war. And so that certainly informed and inspired my introduction in my novel of a German officer who is very much seeing what is going on, and he knows that it is not right. He knows that it is against his own moral code, and he knows that, you know, he has to you know, take action against that.
It's really quite an extraordinary story. This is the only tricky thing about talking about a novel, is you don't want to give too much away, because we don't want to know everything that happens. We want people to buy the novel and read it for themselves, or go to the library and read it. Can we tell a little bit about of how the relationship between Antonina and Merrick resolves? Obviously, the odds of it being having a happy resolution are pretty minimal in Warsaw, Poland, and particularly during World War II.
So Merrick Eisenberg, who was a Jewish violinist, he is in relationship with Antonina, who is one of my main characters, and despite all the obstacles, Antonina continues to pursue their relationship. She continues to pursue, to seek, to do what she can. She would like to help Merrick and his family in the midst of the ghetto, and then she hears about the deportations that are beginning the very earliest, that there is something going on, and daily there are trainloads of Jewish inhabitants being rounded up from the ghetto, and they are sent to basically into the unknown. No one really knows what is happening to them, and she becomes even more disturbed and knows that, you know, she would like to try to help Merrick and possibly smuggle them out of the ghetto and provide them lodging on the outside. And eventually it has become known, and this is very much the commonplace of history, is that those train loads of anywhere from 265,000 to 300,000, the exact number is unknown, men, women, and children, they're from the Warsaw Ghetto, are being sent to a camp and near the village of Treblinka. And there at this camp, they are being killed. They are being gassed. And this is happening day upon day, week upon week. And this of the extermination of the majority of the Jews of Warsaw took place over a period of 2 months. So, I mean, it was this daily, very systematic that was going on. And once word got out, the Jewish, the resistance in the ghetto began to grow, and a group of surviving Jews, the majority, who were in their late teens and, you know, very young people, most of whom had lost their entire families, they decided to rise up in the ghetto, and they did so. They built up their resistance, and in April of 1943, when the Germans entered the ghetto to resume another deportation, around 750 of them were there, and they were ready, and they resisted, and the revolt lasted 28 days, and they did rise up. And I think what that was, in my character Antonina, looking on this, what's going on in the ghetto and the uprising, you know, from the other side of the wall, you know, she is seeing, you know, this incredible story of Jewish resistance. And I think that the legacy of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising is so powerful.
This flies in the face of the way that many historians perceive the Jews as being rather docile when they're all being carted off to be killed. This is not the case at all. The Jews in Warsaw in particular, and in Poland in particular, are very determined to not go easily. They know the odds are really against them, but they are not going to just be docile and be dragged off to be murdered.
The story of Jewish resistance is extraordinary, and there were uprisings in other ghettos as well throughout Poland, so it wasn't just in Warsaw, and it was very much a case of they knew that, you know, they were very outnumbered against the might of the German military. They knew that they could never, you know, succeed in, you know, forcing the Germans to retreat or anything, but they knew that they had to take a stand. They knew that, as one of my characters says in the novel, that our actions must be a voice to the world, that the Jewish people would not silently accept their annihilation. So it was very much a matter of knowing that we are going to fight and we are going to live, and if necessary, we're going to die with honor and with dignity, which was very much robbed of all of those who were just ruthlessly slaughtered in places like Treblinka. And so that was very much a protest against that, their actions. And it's, as I've said, it's extraordinarily powerful.
Were there things that you discovered in doing the research for your novel that surprised you, the smuggling of the Jewish children out, or the determination of the resistance? What was it that was the biggest surprise to you when you were doing your research for this novel?
Well, there was so much that surprised me. There was so much that astounded me. There was so much that inspired me. But one of the things that was most, I think, that I really had no idea until I really began to delve into research was the role that women played in the Polish underground and in the Warsaw Uprising. I read so many accounts of these young women and their role and what they did in the uprising. You know, I think about the one young woman I read about who was a stretcher bearer, who, as the Polish soldiers were fighting in this combat, they would go and they would scramble over the rubble and they would collect their wounded comrades and carry them to a first aid post. And later on, she said, and I read her memoir, she said that, you know, you got used to seeing blood, but you never got used to seeing suffering. I think about Wanda, another young woman I read about, who was decorated with Polish military honors and who started out as a messenger girl, but then later became a combatant when one of her comrades fell and she picked up his gun and started using it. And just so many stories of these people being placed in circumstances that were just, they were not what they asked for. You know, the Polish people did not ask for the suffering that was, you know, laid upon them, and they simply had to choose to decide what their response would be. And I think that their courage was not so much a courage of, you know, choice. It was a courage of necessity. It was a courage of knowing that we must do something because we cannot do nothing.
Right. There's a statement that you made in some publicity materials that got sent out that I think is important to say, too, that if I can quote you, sisterhood in all its complexities and resilience is at the very heart of the novel. That not only are there are women that are involved alongside men in the resistance and in other activities against the Nazis, but there is a sense that if they don't band together as women, then they will continue to be victimized, and people will suffer if they don't join in. And this was very different during the 1940s, wasn't it? That women, there was a sort of place that the average woman would have in a civilized nation. There would be women who would perhaps have opportunities for certain kinds of jobs, but they certainly wouldn't be warriors, and they certainly wouldn't be expected to be in charge of such things. So that becomes that's a big issue of the book too, I believe.
The theme of women's experiences in war is something that I found in many of my novels and something that I am so passionate about exploring. I love discovering little-known stories of women who, in their resistance, in their unique contributions and their strengths and their suffering and their vulnerabilities and their resilience, and how that all played out against the canvas, a canvas of the unthinkable, as it was in occupied Poland. And that was so inspiring to me to research and then to hope to honor through the characters of Antonina and Helena.
There is a personal relationship that you have to the story in that you are the great-granddaughter of Polish immigrants, right?
Yes, I am, and I grew up surrounded by Polish culture. My grandmother, she taught me a lot of the traditions, she baked a lot of the food, and so I was really surrounded by that. So then as I started to explore Poland's role in the Second World War, those stories became, you know, so personal to me, thinking that, you know, I very well may have had ancestors living through all of that.
Hmm. Yeah, very possible. It seems like everybody in Poland was either against the occupation or just keeping their head down and trying to survive it. There were not very many collaborators in Poland.
There were not very many Poles who collaborated. There were a few instances, but there was a lot of solidarity. There was widespread support for the resistance, and then there also were, as you said, people who were simply trying to survive, who were simply trying to take care of their families and to endure. So I think that, you know, it's really tempting to think, you know, what would I have done? And I think that there are so many options, and nobody really knows until that choice is before them.
Yeah, absolutely. It is certainly an extraordinary story. You know, there are some novels that you, at the end of a chapter, you go, okay, well, I can stop here, and I'll get back to it tomorrow. But yours was one that I thought, well, what time do I need to get up tomorrow? I really would like to read another chapter and see what happens or see how this develops. There was a real sense of urgency because these became very real characters. And I think that is a tribute to your ability as a writer, of course, but also to the incredible stories to which you were exposed and which you researched that you could bring to life in the Warsaw Sisters.
Well, thank you. I'm really so grateful to hear that. That means so much. Thank you. That truly does.
Now, people can connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, and your website, correct?
Absolutely. I love connecting with readers on Facebook and Instagram, and I always invite readers to sign up for my newsletter, which is available to sign up on my website, amandabarrett.net. And I always share all sorts of sneak peeks, my first glimpses at any new covers, all sorts of, I really try to make that a really conversational, a community approach to interact with readers.
Excellent. Amanda, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with your book, The Warsaw Sisters, that I did not ask you?
Well, for me, it's just returning to these stories of the Second World War. It feels like now is such an imperative time to tell them. As more and more World War II veterans and Holocaust survivors pass away, you know, the necessity of keeping these stories alive, of passing them on to the next generation, especially as we see surveys that, you know, state that there is a lack of Holocaust knowledge and knowledge about what happened among the younger generations. And to me, I always feel that story is a powerful vehicle to create empathy, and it's a powerful vehicle to draw you in and get you engaged with people who are not so very different than yourself. And so that's, for me, my heart is sharing these stories, is that they would be a stepping stone to maybe somebody who's not that familiar with the events in Poland during the war, the stories of the Holocaust, and that it would maybe inspire them to delve deeper into that history, because it is so important that we do not forget, so we do not repeat.
And sadly, this is not the last genocide that we've seen. It was just the most egregious one. And bizarrely, because of the nature of Nazi Germany, it was so chillingly and brutally dispassionate. Even though there were incidences, certainly, of soldiers who mistreated people, and they were encouraged to do so, there was also a sense of just, we're going to use these people for our own purposes because they're not really people. They're not people like us. They are lesser humans or subhumans. And that's the ideology that was propagated by the Nazi doctrine.
And that's how it all began. And this was an indoctrination that began with German youth at, childhood to their teen years. They were taught that the Jewish people were not like them, and that's what conditioned them to do those horrific things that they did. And I think that's a challenge to us, to think, how do we view people, and, you know, how do we respond in those situations? Because it can so easily happen again. Anti-Semitism continues to remain prevalent, and, you know, minorities are persecuted today, and it's something that we can need to be standing up against.
Absolutely. Amanda Barrett, our guest today on the bookshelf, her new book, The Warsaw Sisters, her new novel from Revel, which is a division of Baker Publishing Group, available online and in your favorite bookstores and also at the libraries. Please look for it. It is a powerful book. And if you don't know anything at all about what happened in Poland during World War II, then you particularly should find out by reading this book. Every author I've ever interviewed, particularly novelists, always have another book or two that they're cooking while they're promoting the book that they wrote a year ago that is now being released. So are you going to have obviously having a follow-up on this book would be interesting, but it'd be a whole different sort of sense of how did they survive the Soviet occupation or something. Are you going to keep these characters? Are you going in a different direction on your next novel?
Well, that would be very fascinating to include, you know, the whole Soviet, because, I mean, what Poland suffered, it was basically a second occupation. My next novel is also set in World War II, and it's also going to be set in Poland, and it's another very little-known story of a resistance movement that took place in another area of Poland, and So I'm currently in the research process for that, and it's absolutely fascinating to me, and I'm really excited about it.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to it very much, and we'll just do this again next novel, okay?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'll be excited about that.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I hope you have a really good rest of your day and a really wonderful weekend.
Thanks. You too. We've been talking to Amanda Barrett, the best-selling author of more than a dozen historical novels and novellas, including My Dearest Dietrich and The White Rose Resist, which is a 2021 Christie Award winner. Her newest book, The Warsaw Sisters. We've been talking about that today on the bookshelf. And for more information, you can again go to her website, Amanda Barrett, at barrett.net. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station and your favorite podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.